Atamaria, good morning, everyone. This is the reading from John, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Jesus anointed. No, it's not. It's not Jesus anointed at Bethany, is it?
No.
It's the triumphal entry.
Which starts when?
Verse 12.
Yeah, it's 12 to 16.
Okay.
Oops.
The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. So now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look at how the whole world has gone after him." Thanks be to God.
Don't know how many of you were able to or watched a program last Sunday night on Prime, which had a variety of different people who had been brought together with different beliefs travelling the Camino Road pilgrimage route to Santiago. Anybody watch that? Quite a good number. Yes, okay. So the second part of it is on tonight, and it's the last section, which is when most of the people, and so they're caught up with a large crowd of people all travelling in the same direction. There's a couple of sincere Christian believers in the group that they've gathered together, as well as some who were brought up in a Christian faith and have abandoned it, and others who have had various spiritualities or none at all. So their conversations and their observations and honesty along the way is quite insightful. Pilgrimage. The Jewish people were a pilgrim people. Children of the Torah were taught from Deuteronomy, "A wandering Aramean was our father." And for faithful Jews, travelling to Jerusalem at least once in their lifetime, if not regularly, was a part of their practice of faith, especially to go to something like the Passover, their premier year season of the year. For Jesus, his journey began right up north when he ascended a mountain and there was transfigured, with clothes turning bright white and Moses and Elijah talking with him and meeting him there. At intervals along the way, we've stepped in over the last 5 weeks into the journey like fellow pilgrims with the disciples. And through these Lenten weeks, we ourselves have moved closer and closer to the cross. Today, as Jesus enters Jerusalem, can you imagine yourself there in the crowd, excited to be in Jerusalem for the Passover, getting involved in the action with all the other visitors? Maybe you've got no idea who this Jesus is. Maybe you've heard of him, but nothing more. But you like the idea of a new king in town, and so you're caught up in it. Maybe you are from up north Galilee way, and you have seen Jesus heal people, transform lives. You've heard Jesus teach. Maybe you've heard his parables. And so you're there on this pilgrimage. As we go through this week, can we walk with Jesus through his sufferings, through his pain, and through the other side into life eternal? Also, we're bombarded with advertising around the last season of the Game of Thrones starting shortly. I haven't watched a single episode of Game of Thrones. Might have something to do with it being on pay TV, I think. But I know it's been a must watch for many people. Here, there's a Game of Thrones going on in the final episodes in Jerusalem. Throne of God or the throne of Rome? Jesus or Caesar? But at the time of the procession into Jerusalem, as we read today, much of the meaning of what was going on went over the disciples' heads. It was not until early church, after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus into heaven, they realized Jesus' sufferings and death, what they meant. Then they remembered Jesus' actions and they came to understand what they meant. This is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So eyewitness disciples at the time saw what happened. They heard the voices, the chants, but they didn't fully understand until, filled with the Holy Spirit, there's an aha moment. Now I get it. What did they understand? This passage gives us what they understood about this procession into Jerusalem after Jesus had risen from the dead and was glorified, ascending into heaven. Jesus chose a young donkey and he rode it into Jerusalem. The people took palm branches and they head out to meet him, waving them in his presence as a way of honouring him. The hymn we opened up with spoke about children. We don't see children in this reading, but we can imagine it's everyone together. Hosanna, Hosanna, they cry. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Aramaic word meaning God save us, or God saves. So Hosanna here could mean they were looking to Jesus as their Savior. They were also pleading, Jesus, please save us. Hoping in him as their Savior. What did they know? What did they understand by their actions? Most likely some were hoping for an uprising through Jesus to overthrow the Roman army. Maybe some were just carried away with the pageantry, leading the heightened crowd and all the energy that was around and got caught up in it. They saw a sight which reminded them of what they knew from the Psalms as an example of the procession into Jerusalem of a king. And they remembered the likes of Psalm 118. Whatever they understood at the time, after Jesus was glorified, the early church understood what sort of Savior he was and what sort of deliverance he brought. He was their Savior, the Savior of their sins, the giver of eternal life. The deliverance he brought was not from the Romans, but from their own sin, which was eroding their lives and stealing life from them. Do not be afraid. You see, a king comes riding on a donkey's colt. These words stand out today. Do not be afraid. Your king comes to you riding on a donkey's colt. When a king returned from battle victorious, riding through on the back of a majestic stallion, there would have been a great procession. Behind the king with his army would be the spoils of war, the treasures they had taken, the slaves they had gained, trudging, head down, defeated, being mocked by the crowds. A king would ride through the procession with his army to the temple to worship and make sacrifices of praise to the God who had given them the victory. Also at the time, people would have been used to seeing the Roman garrisons come through, riding through town, maybe a centurion riding his horse above the people, the centurion's sword ready at hand to be taken out and used as it was needed. The words come, "Do not be afraid." When the king came riding in with his army, showing off his power, that was great encouragement for those who were on the king's side. So long as the king used their power wisely, the presence of the king provided security. However, if you got on the wrong side of the king, then the authorities would send the very same soldiers who had won victories from you, around you, and you could become their target. It could turn very quickly. Before there were kings in Israel, people in Samuel's time, they asked God for a king. Give us a king like the nations around us. And God said, "But I am your king. You don't need any other king." And they said, "No, give us a king. We want a king." And God argued against the idea. God said that kings would tax the people more and more heavily and leave them in poverty. They would also conscript their youngest, their healthiest, their strongest to be in the king's army, and many of those would go to fight the king's battles and would not return. God warned them against having a king because they would lord it over the masses. So having a king might not be a good thing. It might actually be a reason for fear. Do not be afraid. See, your king comes riding on a donkey. Jesus was rightly identified as king, the true king of Israel, the one who was the true protection for the people referred to here as the daughter of Zion. Jesus, their true king, though, comes to them riding on a donkey, lowly, small animal, not towering over them, on a donkey's colt, much more the common work animal of the people. Jesus rode into town with no weapons of war, no sword at his side. We see a picture of a presence which comes alongside, not towers over. Jesus came with no army, but a few disciples who walked in the crowd as fellow pilgrims. You get this picture of gentleness and humility. Humility in the right kind of understanding of humility. Jesus comfortable in his own skin, comfortable to be hailed as king. But living at the level of others, and so able to reach out and connect with others. For us, we can want a deliverer We can want a deliverer to come and to make us better, to rescue us from this or from that. Dear God, I wish there was someone to make this or that decision for me. Dear God, please can a knight in shining armor come and lift me out of the mire. Lift me high, place me on their horse with them and ride off into the sunset. Jesus, please ease my burden. Whatever our cry for rescue is, after Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples were still left in some ways in the same situation. They were still ruled by Rome, a foreign entity. There was still poverty, injustice, abuse. In fact, for believers, there then arose persecution. So salvation didn't mean escape from trouble. Now they had this picture of Jesus glorified high and lifted up as the ultimate victor over sin, over their sin, over other people's sin, and over the sin of world powers. But instead of a deliverer to rescue them from hardship, they had one who was with them in the form of the Holy Spirit. One of the words used to describe the Holy Spirit is the word paraclete, Greek word paraclete, which simply means the one who comes alongside. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us to be with us through the journey, through its difficult times. Holy Spirit would also lead them, bringing them into all truth. We're set free inside, even if the outside world will still one of being ruled by others. Set free inside from the power of the controlling powers of the world. So what sort of deliverer do we want? Do we want someone to remove all our struggles? Secondly, can we accept a Saviour who is at our side rather than ruling over us? As a teen and a young adult, I remember music rehearsals, band practice, and at times the music teacher would come and stand behind me. And it was the same if same thing happened if I was sitting an exam and a teacher came and stood behind me. I would freeze up. And could I play a note? Could I fill in a word of the exam paper? No. I was, even though I knew these people were there to support and to encourage and to coach and to help me do better, all I could see was them over me to judge and to criticize. Can we see Jesus as one alongside us? We have a Jesus who is God's one and only Son, who is himself God and sits at the right hand of the Father, is in the closest relationship with the Father. He has made the Father known to us. And the repeated image that we get of Jesus is compassionate toward the needy. Yes, here's a real challenge to the arrogant. But to all who look to him for help, they find one who does not rule over them in judgment. Can we feel completely safe in the arms of Jesus, as a child safe, cradled in their parents' arms? Can we accept a God who knows us but does not judge us or condemn us. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, help us. We look at this scripture every year. We're challenged by it every year. Help us to be able to re-image. Help us to see you as you are. Yes, Jesus, you are high and lifted up. But Jesus, you are in the Holy Spirit with us, in us, beside us, among us, all around us. And help us, please, dear God, not to see you as a judging, condemning God, but help us to see you as one who supports us through every step in our lives. Dear Jesus, we commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, in your precious name, amen.